Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/Wondery and use code Wondery for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/Wondery, code Wondery.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code AUDIO to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code AUDIO at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code AUDIO.
Welcome to the Nerdist Podcast number 231. Oh my gosh, I just got back from Comic-Con yesterday. I moderated the Doctor Who panel on Sunday, got straight in a car, ran, and did to LA to do a couple episodes of the Nerdist TV show, which we're back on BBC America, premiering July 28th. And we're doing two episodes that night. One is an episode on toys and games, and the other is a Comic-Con wrap-up show on which we had Damon Lindelof and Alex Albrecht and John Barrowman. So tune in to BBC America for that. We're coming back then. And also, John Barrowman did this episode of Nerdist Podcast, which I will talk about in a minute. We're going to do a big hostful Comic-Con wrap-up podcast later on this week. So listen for that. It was unbelievable. Course of the Force went great. A lot of stuff happened with Nerdist. We're going to go through that and then also give you sort of the rundown of Comic-Con. But all in all, I thought I was going to be like super wiped out, and I'm just energized. The energy at Comic-Con was so wonderful, so we'll get into that this week. But I would like to thank this sponsor for the episode of the Nerdist Podcast, Stamps.com. So listen, you're kind of used at this point to being able to consume things whenever you want, wherever you want, like this podcast for Por Ejemplo. So Stamps.com does the same thing for you with postage. You can now print right from your desk with Stamps.com. You don't need to go to the post office ever again. You print out the exact amount of postage that you need, slap it on the package, and if you want, mail carrier will come and pick it up from your house. You never even have to leave. Stamps.com has been a vital, vital, vital part of building out our stuff at Nerdist, not having to go and buy sheets of stamps or wait in line at the post office. There just isn't time for that, and it's not an efficient way to run your business or your life. So right now, you can use the promo code Nerdist. You're going to get a special offer. It's a no-risk trial and $110 of bonus stuff, including a digital scale and $55 of free postage. So go to Stamps.com before you do anything else and click the radio microphone at the top of the homepage and then type in Nerdist. That's Stamps.com and enter the promo code Nerdist. So this episode was John Barrowman at the Balboa Theater during Comic-Con. It was the Friday night of Comic-Con, Friday the 13th. And there were like 1,000 people there. It was unbelievable. The Balboa is such a gorgeous theater. They did Wootstock there the night before, and I know they had a great show as well. And it was a dream. It was a dream to perform to this many people at Comic-Con. And we also had Gary Delabate, Baba Booey, who's doing kind of a tech show for us on the Nerdist channel coming out in the fall. And, Matt Myra is such a huge... I mean, we're all Stern fans, but Matt Myra is like super, super, super Stern fan. So we brought him out about halfway through. And so you might be saying, well, what could John Barrowman and Gary Delabate have to talk about? And it was great. They actually... Everyone just clicked. And afterwards, Gary said, in 30 years of doing the Howard Stern show, this was the filthiest show I've ever been part of. Which he meant as a compliment, I believe. But Barrowman was delightfully filthy in the most wonderful way. But we had such an incredible time, and so. But I do want to warn you: this episode is extra NSFW. So, I'm just giving you the heads up right now. But we became super fast pals with Barrowman, and I love the guy to death. So, here we go: episode of Nerdist Podcast number 231, live from San Diego Comic-Con with John Barrowman and Baba Booey.
First things first, I'm out of beer. Can someone grab me a few?
Oh, Jesus. Already?
I just had one. It just,
you were just backstage.
Sorry, you were fucking gallivanting around with a fucking trash can. and I sucked it down.
He made that happen, not me. Oh, the podcast listeners aren't going to know how much that guy fucked up the beginning of the show.
What did he do? Is he like a shitty kind of fire starter where he just, his only mind power is he can throw garbage cans?
You totally haven't seen anything that happened in the beginning of the show.
No.
We weren't allowed.
We were getting in a zone.
For a quick recap, for the people listening on their podcast at home with their ears, and Matt and Jonah, who were not paying attention, the entire front row was empty. People were trying to figure out who was going to take the front seats. Then these four casually stroll in because this guy in the number two seat had to get Chinese food. And then, rightfully so, John Barrowman came out in a fit of rage and threw a trash can across the stage because he didn't bring Chinese food for everybody. Now you're all caught up.
Appropriate reaction, John.
This is really exciting to be back. This is a much bigger venue than we played last year, almost twice as big. So thank you for coming to this.
But we did two shows last year, so it all evens out.
I guess it does.
Yeah.
But this is still a nice space. We did our Course of the Force wrap-up
next year. Ready?
What?
Thought of it last night.
What?
Next year you do Set Your Phasers to Run, Star Trek. Me and LeVar Burton will lead the charge.
LeVar Burton has anything to say about it, you won't.
Sounds really boring.
I ran into him today.
Did you?
And I yelled at
Alpha. Oh, by accident.
Well, I saw he was signing autographs, and I went over and I said...
That's not running into somebody.
Excuse me, let me finish. Yeah. I yelled...
That's like going to someone's house. Oh, what are you doing here?
How crazy, you're about to get in your own shower. This is so weird.
I did not expect to see you at the scheduled time of your appearance at this table.
Did he remember you?
Of course, yeah. I yelled Alpha 39 at him. And then he jumped up and yelled Matt louder than any human being on the planet Earth and then gave me a hug.
Aww.
And then he was like, "You remember Brent, right?" And I was like, "Hey, Brent Spiner."
Now, Matt, I have a special present for you.
Oh, God. I hope it's Brent Spiner.
Jonah, don't feel bad. I don't have anything for you, Jonah.
It's okay. I always feel bad.
Matt, I have a very special present for you. And what's very special about this is that Matt has lost enough weight that he's now fitting into XLs, which is a big deal. That's a big deal.
Now fitting into that size that they had to make in the 60s. And they're like, people are getting fat. What's this? Large? Extra.
Yeah.
Extra large.
We've actually been calling Matt the big deal lately.
Have we?
Yeah.
Is that what we've been calling me?
Me and Chris, yeah.
I have not said that at all.
All the time at our secret pizza parties,
Don't
Chris.
Don't drag me.
Secret pizza parties.
Oh, you wouldn't want to go. Anyway,
you're right,
I have
carbs.
A great one planned for the next
what
one.
What pizza's going to be this week?
Oh, cheese.
Oh,
my God.
Wow. That's just like the inciting incident scene in Rookie of the Year.
Yeah.
Did you love that movie?
I love that movie.
See, his arm gets messed up.
Yeah,
and so
his tendon heals a little tighter than normal.
Yeah,
and
so
then,
naturally he can
he's
throw
like, I don't want to throw it back because the ball comes.
Well, now that I've been a pitcher, I know how hard that
and
is.
And then he throws it from the bleachers to home plate. So and everyone's like, what happened?
Yep.
Then what happens?
Well, it's kind of like that scene in A League of Their Own where the ball goes over and the black woman picks it up and throws it really hard. And then they go, I guess black people can play baseball too.
And that's the last part of the you see in that movie about that situation.
Yep.
Yeah.
Don't need to address it anymore.
No, thanks, thanks, Penny Marshall. You're not a racist.
and then Charlie Sheen comes out and they play Wild Thing because he's got crazy glasses on.
Oh, yeah. My God.
And then Garth Algar starts dancing to Wild Thing to hit on the lady at the donut shop.
And then Neve Campbell makes out with Denise Richards because it's the movie Wild Thing.
This is awesome. Yeah.
But it's a bad improv.
And then you see Kevin Bacon's dick.
Okay. You do. And then, for no reason, Harvey Keitel's.
Oh, yeah.
Because he loves it.
Are we going on that train now?
Yeah, we're going there. Quick, go.
Then you see Joe Latrugio's dick.
Yeah!
And,
prosthetic, but I'll take it.
So here's what I have for you, Matt.
Listen. Oh, yeah, go ahead.
Okay.
I was going to talk about, because you said Charlie Sheen, and then I was going to tell you about how I interviewed Corbin Burnson yesterday.
You did?
Yeah, he's on a program called Psych on the USA
Network.
Of
course, yeah.
Wait. Yeah. That's not, it's not the same show as Psyche, is it?
Oh, Jonah, that's how it's spelled. Huh? It's the P Psyche. Is silent.
No, because I watch Psyche. It's
no,
crazy.
No, Psyche, and then the CH is a
And
it's
Corbin
a consonant.
Bernstein is in it.
It's Corbin Bernson.
Huh?
But what I said...
Love this bit.
At the end of the season, the character gets shot. So cliffhanger, right?
Yeah.
Not a spoiler alert, because it's a cliffhanger. We don't know how the fuck it's going to end, all
Watch
right?
Watch TV when it happens.
Yeah.
And live your life. Stop taking pictures.
So he's wearing a shirt with a question mark. Like, what's going to happen to my character? Whatever. So then I'm interviewing his castmates, whose names escape me right now, Tom and Maggie.
Bergeron.
Maggie, and yeah. Anyway, and I say to
Gyllenhaal.
Them, I'm like, what's going on with Corbin Burnson? Are you going to kill him? And they're like, well, if one show would kill off Corbin Burnson, it would be ours. And then I said, which I'm sure they're going to cut, I said, yes, you guys will succeed in doing what cocaine in the 80s couldn't.
How did Corbin Burnson take that?
They loved it.
Yeah.
Because he was flying on coke. Yeah. That's fantastic.
But it was good.
Speaking of flying,
okay.
I have a very special present for you. As you know, my girlfriend Chloe's dad, John Dykstra, did the special effects for Star Wars
yes.
and many films that you've seen, the Spider-Man movies. Also worked on... a little movie called Star Trek the Motion Picture.
Oh my
and
god.
And this is John's actual one of his crew shirts from
Holy
the original Star Trek the Motion Picture.
Shitballs.
There it is. And so, just kind of as a present and encouragement for the excellent job you've been doing, taking care of yourself and being healthier. There
Thanks,
is.
Chris!
Oh, you son of a bitch!
This is my favorite
That was the
kind
only one
shirt.
I had! That was the only
I'm
one I had, Matt!
I'm gonna put a big circle on it and cross it out!
That's about right.
Give
so
it there you go.
Asshole.
There you go. Happy not your birthday, I guess.
Thank
I don't know.
You.
There's your Star Trek the Motion Picture shirt.
That's when they added windows to the Klingon battle cruiser.
Yeah!
He said it like you were just so kind of saying, yeah, it is, big guy.
Yeah.
Oh, big idea.
We'll talk about this at the pizza party this week.
Oh, won't we? Oh, man.
Guys, yeah, well, she also...
Hey, someone brought you a beer.
Oh. A guy in an Aperture Laboratories shirt. She also gave me an original Star Wars crew shirt.
That doesn't matter.
It does matter a lot. And
set your phasers to run.
Well, you do that. We'll keep doing Course of the Force.
Oh, I guess you could do that.
Some people did show up on the course.
You should do that. You'll run down the five.
Run.
You can just run down the five.
You take a different way to go. You take a different way.
Yeah.
It's every great sci-fi thing. Just get down to... It's a race. It's a cannonball run of sci-fi.
Oh, I'm going to be doing the cannonball run.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, yeah.
Of sci-fi.
Me and Burt Reynolds.
And Jackie Chan is robotic car. Jackie Chan's fucking here. We can make it happen.
But Jackie Chan and
Burt Reynolds, not so much.
He's not here. Like, here on the show.
No.
Let's be honest. How excited would you be? Not really, right? What's he going to do? Kick us all in the face, pretendingly?
Come on, guys. He's in the Karate Kid. The original Karate Kid.
Oh, my God, Matt. Corbin Burnson, now Jackie Chan. Is anyone safe from those kiddies' claws?
Nope.
I want to bring out our guest because he's awesome.
Let's see what kind of a t-shirt he brought me.
You've probably seen him on shows like Torchwood and Doctor Who. And then also, you've also seen his one-man garbage can hurling show. Please welcome John Barrowman!
He is handsome.
Yes, he is.
What's up?
Handsome and a half.
What's up?
I don't swing that way, but I'm thinking about it.
That's all right. I do, so
look at
go
your
ahead.
Good
and
Lord.
I don't I you know, I'm open to anything, particularly
your
since
your eyes are very piercing.
Really?
Yeah.
It's not the only thing I can pierce with.
Bam!
Explain further.
Gay chicken.
See what you're holding right there? Uh-huh, pretend uh-huh. It's me.
Oh, I get it.
Oh, my God, John, please fuck
now,
Matt.
Now, can I
please,
just say,
please
you,
just fuck
what?
Him. Just fuck Matt, please. Just fuck him. I want to see you guys.
On the table now.
Watch the beer.
my God, he's really going for it.
That's a thing. That's a thing that happened.
Well, how did you not know? How did you know that that was beer? That could have been someone taking a cup into the bathroom and pissed in it.
Jonah wouldn't.
What? Care.
Jonah, the spit take works by
no,
you.
No, no, no spit take.
No,
Jonah.
You're drinking at the time of the incident. You
no,
don't.
No, no, no.
You don't
spit
get surprised
is
after the
universal.
Fact.
You can do it whenever you want.
Okay.
The joke was that I did it after.
Oh my gosh. It's good to see you. You're so much fun. And thank you, first of all, for doing the Nerdist TV show.
Thank you for asking me to do all of this
oh
stuff.
My God.
It's brilliant.
Well, we're such huge fans of yours. And I mean, it's so, you know, to take a character that was on a show like Doctor Who and then and be able to spin that into a whole other show. I mean, people love Captain Jack Harkness.
It's a good character.
I love him, too.
Was it Empty Child? Was that the first?
Empty Child was the first episode in Doctor Who written by Stephen Moffat
and
Russell T.
By Russell, yeah.
And it was the introduction to Captain Jack Harkness and, you know, and he wasn't very likable in the beginning. We didn't want him to be likable, and I was only really expecting to be in a couple of episodes.
Yeah.
But then after the things just started happening, and it just gelled, and it worked, and the audience came along with him in his journey, and then he decided to become part of the team. And from that point on, and just to be, you know, if I can get a little schmaltzy, that's when my life changed completely because of people like all of you out there, and I love you for it.
I mean,
come on. Don't kiss up to them.
They liked Captain Jack Harkness so much, they were like, not only are we not going to kill off your character is never going to be able to die.
Oh, totally. Totally. You know, it's one of those things, it's weird to talk about it because it was like surreal when it happened. I had no idea. I mean, as a kid, I'm a child of the Star Wars era, right? Yeah. And, no applause. They're all too young.
Usually, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, all right, guys, episode one.
No, Jonah. No, no, no.
Huh?
No, no, no.
Pod racing!
Pod racing!
Woot, woot! Saboba! Greedo shot first!
God damn it. No, I think.
But I grew up that, you know, in that, and also with the original Doctor Who, and never ever thought that one day I'd be someone who was in the TARDIS.
Yeah.
And there I was. And it was a total dream come true. I had a fangasm.
Oh, that's the way to do it.
You're moving around funny now after
I'm having
I banged
a fangasm.
You. Yeah, yeah. That he called a fangasm,
he's
Mr. Heaven.
He's still coming. He's still coming.
Oh, it's so much, you guys.
Matt was penetrated. But seriously, is... Can we tell... Well, you know what? If you haven't seen enough Doctor Who at this point, it's too fucking
Fuck
bad.
You.
I'm going to talk about stuff.
Get out.
Is Captain Jack Harkness the face of Bo? Can you confirm or deny?
Would you like him to be?
Yes.
See, I believe he is. I think he is. And when we were getting ready to shoot that episode, David and I were we always would get the scripts ahead to have a good read to prepare and stuff. And the week that the episode we were filming prior to that, so we were reading ahead, David came to me at lunchtime and he came running up to my trailer and I hear, I said, what is going on? John, you're not going to believe it! David, are you okay? Do you want to know what happens? No! Spoiler! So I left it. Next day, he comes up to me. Have you read it yet? I'm like, no, I haven't read it yet. I haven't had time. Next day, I'm like this. I can hear him going, what the hell is the knocking? David! Oh, my God! I can't believe it! You hated me, and now you're talking to me in the future, and I'm giving you advice. How awesome is that? But what starts to happen... is you start to really think you are those characters. So I was, you know, it was like your life is planned for you, but yeah, I think he's the face of Bo. And I asked Russell, I said to him after I read the script, I went up and I said, Russell, what were you smoking when you thought of that?
What did he say? What was
he smoking? I'm not telling you.
Okay.
Because the face of Bo, it's like, it seemed like... That's what I love about Doctor Who is that things that seem like one episode gags, like, you know, Face of Bo, second episode of the
I just want to see that episode where you get stung by a bunch of bees, beheaded, and thrown into a jar. that's going to be a great one.
There's a bee. That's a great
There's a
joke.
Bee planet. A
the really, the thing is, that's not the head off my shoulders.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Oh, now you make sense.
Look at Dick.
Totally.
Now it makes sense.
Totally. Anyway, no, it's pretty weird. But to see, we used to go in between episodes and go into the kind of like the stock room where they kept all of the props and, you know, the TARDISes that they would use outside and stuff like that, because it was different TARDIS that you use.
God.
Yeah. Ones that have lights.
Use your indoor TARDIS.
Use your indoor... Kids, please, use your indoor TARDIS.
I found my new boyfriend.
Found him? You already claimed him. What are you talking about?
I've already made my mark.
He's yours.
I've branded him.
He is yours. Just anyway. Loan him to us every once in a while. You can fucking...
And I used to see the Face of Bo. When they store him, they take him out of his big container. I don't
so
want to
they
tell
whip
you.
Them out.
No, they whip them out. Yeah. And they whip them out and they slap them on the ground. And he just lays there. And we used to walk past. And I used to look at him and go, "That's me."
Yeah, that is it. I mean, you know, it's obviously there's so many things that we just naturally, you know, like especially if Stephen or Russell would say, you know, this is just a reality you need to accept. We go, okay, sure, but I so want to know the story of what, you know, five billion years in the future.
Well, if you go back and you look at some episodes, and I can't remember if it was in Torchwood or if it was in Doctor Who, but Jack actually says, he rattles off a bunch of lines of how he has been killed. And one of them he says, you know, I've never put my head on a railroad track. Seriously. And so then right away, I thought that all of a sudden that's how it happens. Jack just experiments one day. And he gets up and his body just goes, but his head is right there.
Still alive.
Yeah, still alive.
Get that thing in a jar. A big jar.
Put it in a big jar, yeah. But that's... Listen, I'll probably be 95 by the time they film that episode of whatever happened, so I'll really look like the face of
Well, it. You're just a giant head with no body. I just assume, like, if you live that long... Like one person would actually evolve the way that a species would evolve over billions of years, and then it's just if you
That's
you know
That's not how evolution works.
Oh, it's a guy in a rib.
What have you been smoking?
I don't know. Just chai lattes. That's about as exciting as
It's good,
though,
isn't
it? He's been smoking the good word, brother.
Yeah.
I was talking to some guys with signs. They're really nice.
They are.
the ones that are cosplaying as the Christians out front. Those are really great.
They're really cool.
Those are realistic cosplays. Yeah.
Hey, what are you cosplaying as? Intolerance.
Yeah, I got told I was going to burn, and then someone else tried to hand me a get out of hell free card. I'm like, what booth is this at? Yeah. And they're like, they didn't think it was funny.
Dude, that's a good card to have.
Yeah, man.
Can you? Sorry, devil. Oh shit, foiled again.
I am. All right, move along.
Because obviously, the devil in my head is the devil from The Devil Went Down to Georgia by the Charlie Daniels Band.
Wait, when isn't that the devil?
The thing is, I get told I'm going to hell all the time, but a lot of my friends are going to be there, so it'll be an absolutely fabulous place.
It will be absolutely fabulous.
I mean, it'll be a bit warm. A bit warm. Everybody will be naked. It'll be fab. Yeah.
They will just screen AbFab forever until you're stuck watching.
I remember when, you know, when I was first starting to watch Doctor Who and first kind of got a sense of who you are, and then there was a... What magazine was... Some online magazine had a gay man of the year or century, somewhere between you and Neil Patrick Harris.
Oh, no, that was on After Elton.
That was on AfterElton.com.
Yeah, and they had a big competition, and it was all the different, you know, like Facebook and Twitter and everything all getting together to vote for who was the best. You know, listen, if there's two of us that are in the public eye and are not afraid to say who we are, and we don't have a beard or a woman on our arm, then good for both of us, you know?
Yeah.
But, There's
well,
so
what if
many.
Your boyfriend
there's so,
has there's, a beard.
There's so many jokes that I could do right now, but I
okay.
Get
top
sued.
Three.
No, no. Oh, look, another glass of urine.
What the hell?
Stand up. You're a doctor, too. You're the urine zombie.
No, she's from Children's Hospital.
Jesus, I hope she didn't piss in that cup.
She probably... I don't think a lady could piss in a cup too easily.
Yes, they can.
Yeah, really?
According to your girlfriend, she
can.
That's
what you don't
get, John.
Oh, my
God. Is this true?
That's what I want.
You can piss... Can a lady piss in a cup?
Chris, it doesn't come
out of the
entire...
Oh, Chloe, do you have a get out of hell card?
She can pee
in a cup.
Look at her. She's like Hooker Bell.
Yeah, I have my get out of hell free card.
Yeah.
Yay.
By the way, sorry, speaking of relationships, I have a question for you. This is my question of the week.
Oh, go.
Okay.
Da, 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 Barrowman's question of the week. Da, da, da. Sometimes these thoughts come into his head and he wants to get them answered.
I hope he gets this question.
Down to San Diego, something rhymes with answered. It's John Barrowman's question of the week.
Would you poop in front of your significant other?
No. We've had this discussion. I will not even urinate in front of my significant other.
Shut up.
Seriously.
Why not?
Because it's weird.
No, it's not.
Jonah's answer is always going to be yes.
I have this dangly bit that shoots pee out of it, and I don't want anyone to see that. I don't even like public restrooms. I'm not going to invite a fucking audience.
You don't know true intimacy.
But you're proud to show it when it's spitting other stuff out of it, right?
Yes.
What's the difference?
Why are you showing it to her? It should be inside of her.
Even then, I'm like, don't look at me.
Bad face. Going to hell face.
I'm okay. Yeah, I'm going to get out of hell free card.
No, really. Well, honestly, I have to ask this because like maybe it's because two men are different. I don't know. But, you know, if one's in the shower and one's... on the toilet. Don't go, because you've all pooped your peen
on somebody. Immediately ruining the freshness of his showering.
No.
With the aroma
of your feces.
What's the problem?
I just feel so much shame about me in a person.
Well, that's you and your weird anal issues.
Yeah.
Do you? Are you okay with it?
I'm fine with it. Listen, don't anybody go say John Barrowman would poop on Scott. No, I wouldn't.
But
no,
near
I'm not
Scott,
talking pooping
John Barrowman would scoop to poop near Scott.
I would sit next to him and poop, of course.
Oh,
if
that's
he was
adorable.
In the shower.
In the love seat toilet.
Like the love seat toilet from
Saturday
Night Live.
Yeah. Flush it together.
We have back-to-back toilets. Hey, hon.
Tandem.
How was your day?
Oh, John, it's been a... Oh, God.
Something awesome happened to...
Boy.
Hey, John, take a look at this.
Awesome!
Oh my God, it looks like James Gandolfini.
Let's play battleships.
Or is there any like a my hands are occupied. Can you help a brother out back there?
Yeah, just get it out.
Oh please,
get it out.
That's the reverse Heimlich.
If you play battleship, the only answer is B2.
Would you? I said poop, like I'm going to be embarrassed talking about farting now.
Right. Gross. Oh my God.
No, I won't do that either.
Oh, don't be so gross.
No, but like in bed.
Sure.
That's all I do in bed with Deanna.
Awesome.
I can't. I don't know what it is.
What's wrong with you?
I am ashamed of the things
that come out of my body.
I let her set the stage. If she's going to fart in front of me, then it's no holds barred.
No, I do like Seth's second date for me, because if they're okay with that, then we're going to be okay.
Second date.
Scott used to go off to the bathroom and not tell me when we first lived we moved in together, and he's going to kill me for telling this, but my nephew Turner will be peeing himself at a party right now in Minnesota. But we used to go, he would stay over, and we went to, he'd go down to the bathroom like at 7 in the morning and disappear for like 15 minutes, and then come back up, and eventually I said, "Hon, where are you going?" He went, "Oh, I'm just going downstairs to fix something in the loo." I'm like, "Well, there's no broken toilet." He's an architect. There's no shower.
Your toilet breaks at 6:59 a.m. every night.
The ghost toilet.
Anyway, go ahead.
I said, "Are you going down there to fart?" And he went, "Yeah." I said, "Oh, come here. Cuddle up. Cuddle up." So I spooned him.
Oh, my God. Cuddle farts. Yeah.
I spooned him. And you got to make sure you can lift your cheek a little bit, get it right on the thigh.
Yes. Okay.
And then you just go, and literally you...
Oh, are you doing it now?
I just did it.
Oh, that was great. I can't...
I just did it.
But it was silent but endearing.
The action, because it'll... Your butt will go and kiss his thigh. And it's called a thigh kiss. Now, honest to God, if you do that, you're in, boy. You are in.
I don't know. I don't know if I'm going
just,
to do
just
that.
Just pray there's no follow through.
What happens if it's
a... That is a scare.
That's a scare. Don't eat a curry the night before,
honest
to God.
No.
Take it from a gay man. Don't touch curry.
Then it turns into a Thai French kiss, which is a whole different... that's not what you want.
Real quick, Chris.
The sad thing is, I know what you're talking about.
Chris, this is the danger of holding in a fart around a loved one. I knew a guy who was dating a girl. It was like the third date. They were at her place. She was in a dorm room, had a bathroom right next to her bed. They were making out. He had to excuse himself because he didn't want to fart in front of her. He goes into the bathroom. He's trying to hold it in. He's trying to let it out silently. The gas goes up into his stomach. The pain is so bad, he passes out from the pain, face forward into the sink, busts his face open.
This is not a real story.
This is a real story. Boyd. It's Boyd this happened to.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh.
His face busts open. He wakes up like 2 minutes later. She's knocking on the door. He opens the door. His face is covered in blood. She's like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. I'll call someone to help you. And he's like, yes, please. Hold on. And he closes the door, and then he just starts shitting. And you know what happened? He heard her laughing.
I love that we're telling poop stories.
Me too.
We were down south, and Scott and I were driving.
Holy shit, oh, John Derman, I love you.
We were driving, and I had an upset stomach. Really, really bad. Really bad. And we're dry. It was like in Alabama, and two gay men should not get the shits in Alabama.
I think for multiple reasons.
That's because immediately, that's a bumper sticker. Immediately, you're giving the game away, right?
That's it.
So I said, Scott, I'm really sick. I think if something's going to happen here. And I literally lifted myself off the leather seats. Don't ever do it on leather seats. And I let the wind break. As they say in Scotland, where you be, let your wind gang free, right? And I went, and I followed through.
Followed through.
That's what you call it. Is that what you call it over here? Following through, touching cloth?
No.
No.
Oh, wow. These are great terms.
These are fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
And thank you for bringing them
touching
to America.
Touching cloth is like when it's just ready to come out and it's just going.
Yeah, yeah. Oh. Exactly. Just a little buddy. A little buddy.
A bunny nibble.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, I
call
like,
that. Oh, fuck. I'm sorry.
I completely lost it. And so I'm holding myself. I'm going, Scott, we have to find a place. We have to find a place. I got to get. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Car's starting to smell. So he pulls down the side by a bayou, right?
Yeah, of course. You ain't around
I get out of the car and go, honey, where am I going? Where am I going? Walking like this. Honest to God, I swear to God, hand in my heart. There was a sign that said, no dumping. I took my pants off, took the underwear off, and left an underpants full of shit hanging on a sign that said, no dumping.
How did that not make it on the front page of Reddit?
Welcome to Alabama.
Make it on page 6.
Honey, I think Captain Jack Harkness just done shit on our no dumping sign.
What are those words you just said?
Where do you go?
And the sad fact is, we took a photograph of it. Me standing going,
oh, that's a very healthy attitude about
the internet.
That's the best fucking thing in the world.
That's a very healthy attitude about that.
What?
That's a healthy attitude about that. I would be mortified. That's
next time I see you, I want you to have done.
Is this
a thigh kiss?
Don't give.
No, that's a challenge. This is like something like psychological. You need to break
wind.
Totally.
Yeah, Chris, you're pent up in a few ways.
I don't...
Thank you so much for that.
Oh, my God.
What are you guys
fucking
trying to do?
Are you serious again?
Well, if beer's flowing, somebody get me a fucking vodka tonic.
Okay. Oh, my God. You're going to get 900.
Two vodka tonics for my girlfriend.
That's fabulous,
Matt.
Right?
I was great, wasn't it?
What are you going to do later when you get thigh-kissed, Matt?
Well, I'm just going to enjoy it.
Just sit there and enjoy it.
Go with the flow.
I love that. It's one of the things I love about Doctor Who, and it seems like you're the perfect guy to be playing Jack Harkness, because there are no lines in Doctor Who, like nothing is off limits. Like there's so much tolerance, and that's kind of an interesting, you know, there's sexual tolerance on the show and racial tolerance on the show,
well,
and you are that way in life as
well. The Daleks don't tolerate anyone.
No, but they don't.
One thing that I think that was great, you know, with Steven and also with Russell is they watched us as people and they watched our personalities and saw how we were dealing with things and you know, everyday stuff that we did. And they put it, I'm a firm believer that when you play a character on television, then there's a lot of actors that come to these things. And I saw it today where they just don't talk to people. They don't do anything. They're covered in their glasses and they're miserable fucks. Yeah. Right?
Corbin Burnson.
What?
Nothing.
Bernstein?
He said Corbin Bernstein, yeah.
But the thing about it is that, you know, I've lost my train of thought. I completely
lost. You're talking about.
I've had one of those moments.
It's just you're talking about like actors like shielding themselves from everyone, and then, but actually just coming and being open and talking to people.
Yeah, and the thing with that I believe on television with the characters that you play. Thank you, darling.
Well, okay.
Thank you, Venom.
That I'll get it for you.
Thank you, bitch.
That's amazing.
Anyway, the fact of the matter is, if you put a little bit of your real self into the character, it becomes more believable for the audience and also a little more truthful.
Okay.
And, you know, rather than, I never think of it as playing a character. I always think of it as being part of me. That's why I think of Jack as being part of me. And it really is, because I've grown to know him so well, and I can tell you everything about him. Inside.
How long have you been playing them? So, like,
8 years.
8 years is a long time. Yeah.
Yeah. And most of the people that have been in Doctor Who, or they have kind of come and gone. But Jack has been the one that's been there from the beginning. And you know, I'm proud of that. You know, and it's like I've always said, if I'm ever asked to go back, I will do it at the drop of a hat. I absolutely love it.
Sip.
That's okay.
Nobody's fucking asked me yet.
There you guys go.
See?
So, okay, well, yeah.
Man, this is the nicest audience.
An extra one. I'd love another one. Hold
wow.
Excuse me for leaving
please.
You for a minute.
Yeah, no, it's okay. Here's
I
the
really
part
need,
where
like,
everyone
really
gets hammered.
Hey, Chris, this double date we set him up with is going really well.
I know. I didn't think it was going to go. Oh, they're coming back. Here they come. Hey, guys, how you doing?
How's it going?
I have to show you these. Hold on. I got these.
Wait
these
a minute.
Are so awesome.
Oh, what?
No, I need... Hold on.
What do you need?
No, I can't get down that low.
Oh, okay.
You're going to have to stand up. Ready?
Sure.
What is...
Okay.
What? What's happening? Something's
Don't
happening.
Don't get excited over there, Belle.
Something's happening. Something's happening.
Check out the beast.
Oh!
Yeah!
Wait, Matt, take a picture. Get your camera. Get your fucking camera. Get your goddamn camera.
Fucking A, hang on.
Get your goddamn camera right now.
Now that... Those are underpants.
That underpants.
Is...
Underpants.
Wait.
Awkward prom picture.
That was an awkward prom picture, although I couldn't help but notice the fist was aimed the wrong way.
I can't tell because I've never seen my own ass. Only like this.
Hey, you get as far as the taint, then it's all just blurry.
Oh my God, those are I have Batman underwear that I brought to Comic-Con. I'm just not wearing them right now, but they look like the Batman armor, and they have the. Are you fucking kidding me? Another vodka tonic?
I am loved. I am loved. I am loved. Love. Love. Love.
Oh, let's talk about a lot of the songs, the Doctor Who songs.
Oh, the Doctor and I.
Yes.
Oh my God, they're still
Jesus.
Coming.
Okay, no more vodka tonics.
No more vodka tonics. Actually, give one to my sister. She's an alcoholic. She'll take one.
Carol.
Where is she?
Carol. Thank you.
Yeah.
It's still going into Barrowman blood.
She likes to drink, and she's a closet lesbian, so go, girls.
She took two.
My nephew will be going, what?
She's what?
Oh no, he always knew. He's been calling her a lesbian all his life.
That's a horrible son of hers.
No, he's actually quite honest.
Oh, that's very
he's quite
nice
cool. Right, Carol? You're a closet lesbian.
She wouldn't
there,
be
girl.
In the closet.
Oh, never, I was going to be.
Anyway. Were you always this comfortable? Like, or did you have to learn that? Or did something happen? Or did you know at a young age? And then you were like, you know what? I'm just... But...
Come on, guys. No secrets between sailors.
I
What's
can't
up?
Say that.
Can I? No,
you
I
can say it if you want.
I can tell everyone what you just whispered?
Yeah, of course
Are you
can.
Sure?
I don't care.
All right. He just grabbed my head and whispered
no,
in my ear. I go, how did you know at a young age? Just whispered in my ear, somebody put a dick in my mouth.
I want to see a Wonder Years moment where a guy's just hanging out and a guy gets a dick put in his mouth and it's like, and that's when I knew.
No, but he's like,
I can buy a little help from my friends.
No, I've always been comfortable. I've literally never was, you know, maybe probably for about all of 10 minutes in school, I probably was worried about what people thought about me. But I never, ever let it bug me. I never wanted to be anything but myself. I don't know.
Nor should you let it bug you.
Did you grow up in the States? I thought you were like half and half. Did you grow up in, did you live in England and then grow up in the States?
I was born in Glasgow, Scotland.
Yep.
I left Glasgow when I was 8, and then I was raised in the Midwest, south of Chicago, a place called Aurora and Joliet, Illinois, was where I grew up.
Aurora, Illinois!
Because that's where Wayne's World takes place, John.
That's all right.
We better go.
And then, went to school over here. And I went back to the UK in 1989. So,
and you've been there ever since?
I've been actually in Britain. I'm British by birth, and I'm a naturalized American citizen, but I've been longer in the UK than I have been in the US.
Oh, wow.
So...
Because you do, I mean, there seems to be no British affectation, and it's funny, like, some people just go to England for a week.
Son, see, if I'm wanting to get you down or Lee or something, that's what I was told.
I don't know what you're saying, but I'm going to get down on the ground.
You don't have to know what I'm seeing. You're going to do it,
There's
I tell
another
you.
Vodka tonic coming. I might have to switch.
But no! See,
no more. My God, they're just piling up.
No más vodka y tonic.
When I sit with my sister, when Carol and I talk together, we speak... like this, and when we're with my mum and dad or my brother Andrew and, you know, the immediate family, I speak Scottish. But when I'm with people, and this is probably the one time that I was bullied as a kid because of the accent. So with Americans, I always speak with an American accent. But in Britain, I've been hired as an American, so I just continue to use it. But when I go up to Scotland, this is really schizophrenic. When I go up to Scotland to film some TV shows, I do a big entertainment show for the BBC, and when I go up there to film it, off camera, I'm talking to the audience like that. Okay, we're going to be running this. And as soon as the camera goes, I switch back into the American. So it's just bizarre.
That's weird. That,
yeah, because I didn't know about the Scottish title.
I'm bi-dialectical.
It's pretty, but you can usually tell when an American's trying to do a Scottish accent.
Oh, it's awful.
It's water, everyone.
Oh, that's water. Oh, this is for me. Oh.
That's not a chai latte.
You're fired.
Because I don't drink alcohol.
Thank you very much for my water.
You never sound bitter about it either.
You also don't poop care. In front of people.
That I don't do. It's never going to happen. It's never going to happen. There was a scene in the Life and Death of Peter Sellers with Jeffrey Rush that always horrifies me, where Peter Sellers is just shitting, and then Charlize Theron comes in, and she tells him she's pregnant, and then, like, two poop plops hit the toilet.
That reminds me of another classic, Dumb and Dumber, where Dumb put a bunch of poop juice inside Dumber's...
Poop juice. Poop juice.
Poop juice, yeah.
Dumber.
Dumb and Dumber.
So Dumber. So are these two guys. One is dumb.
Oh,
the
Jonah.
Other is dumber.
Jonah, that's fantastic.
Thanks, Chris.
How many cons is this for you now?
I think this is my fifth.
Yeah?
And it's really cool because every time that I've done the con, I've done it with a different company. Like, for instance, one might have been with the BBC, one was with BBC America, then I did it with Stars, and this time, you know, I'm not going to write them off, but this time
who
I'm
treated
here,
you the worst?
I'm not going to tell you because I still work for all of them. But this time that I'm out here, obviously, to do this and also to host the show for G4 tomorrow.
Yeah.
Which I'm excited about, but also I'm a bit scared.
That's a fine
I'm a bit scared
program.
Because some of the TV shows that I'm interviewing the people from, we don't get them in the UK.
Yeah, don't worry about it.
Okay?
I bullshitted many interviews today.
I just think some of them are not going to talk.
Don't worry about it.
They'll talk.
You know?
You'll be great.
Okay, good.
It's fun. I hosted
Attack
today.
You can always rely on Candace.
I'm gonna be on Attack today, and I mean, I was
you
on.
You were there today.
I was there today, and it's great. You're up in the turret. You can really see, you really get a view of Comic-Con that you don't get from the floor.
I've been interviewed up there before.
It's great.
It's great. It's the bird's eye view. So if you're around tomorrow, come and see us because we're gonna do some audience stuff. and things like
how
that.
How is this? You're going to pick up
audience
members.
That's like picking people up by the head and lifting them.
Do you prefer hosting or acting, or do you just like performing in
I
general?
I never answer that question because...
Oh, the doctor and I, yes, we were going to talk about that.
We were.
Yes.
I love that you're random.
Yeah, I am. I just jump around, but I remember that, and I wanted to ask about it.
Yeah, the doctor and I was Myron. We rewrote the lyrics. Stephen Schwartz and myself took the song from Wicked, "The Wizard and I," and we rewrote some of the lyrics. And I know.
All right,
listen. I don't know if I remember the words really. When I meet the doctor, when I prove my worth. And when I meet the doctor, what I've waited for since birth, and with all his doctor wisdom, by my looks he won't be blinded. Do you think the doctor is dumb? Or like Oods, he's so small-minded? No, he'll say to me, Jack, I've just screwed it up. He say to me, I see who you truly are, Jack, a man on whom I can rely. And that's where we'll begin, the doctor and I. There you go.
Fucking sweet. That's awesome.
If you want, you can download it off of iTunes.
It's on iTunes, yeah.
It's on iTunes.
And there's a video of it.
And we recorded it with a huge, massive orchestra and did a whole big... In fact, I was asked to go to Australia for Christmas to host the symphonic concert of Doctor Who.
But you said no because it's summer during Christmas there, right? You were like,
well, no,
gross.
And I also don't have the time. I've already committed to something over Christmas. So,
good job.
Yeah, you know, planning ahead.
What an
make sure I can look
aside.
After you. Don't worry.
It was for me.
How did they,
now,
did,
John,
did,
you did just did, shot did, Antiques Road Trip, correct?
Oh my God! Yeah, Matt's been freaking out about this.
Are you a fan?
I fucking torrent that show.
All he talks about.
I love it.
You're perfect for each other.
Who is your expert?
My expert was David.
David Harper.
Yes, David Harper.
He's
very
good.
He's very good. He taught me quite a few things, and I learned that with the stamp on
everyone
the bottom
else
of
can
antiques,
go to sleep.
You know about the stamp on the bottom of antiques, because I collect some things.
Are we referring to the Hallmark or what?
Well, it's not really the Hallmark of where it's made.
Yeah.
Because if it just says England,
it
means it's after the 1920s.
I know, but I'm stuck
in it.
If
it says made, about and made
show
in England,
okay, we could just plan the pizza party for later.
I've never wanted to shoot myself
in the fucking face.
So what'd you buy?
I thought it would be really great to have two of them together, but I realized it's just
but it wasn't really an old airplane. I bought a grandmother clock.
It's excluding us. You know how people like just exclude you?
You know something, Joan? I feel like you get me more than anyone else I've ever met.
I feel the same way.
I'm so glad this happened.
Me too.
Just moments of this.
Now, £400
I spent everything.
Nice.
And
I made
money.
Oh,
I spent
yes.
everything and I made money. Sorry, were you guys
excited.
Saying something?
No, we were just
you guys
we were...
have your fun.
Matt was so excited that you were doing Antiques Road.
It was really good. We made money. It was for Children in Need, and which is a British charity to raise money for kids. And we made £35.
I am so mad at you for ruining that for me.
Spoilers.
We spent $400 and we made $35.
Yeah,
what a fucking loser.
No, that's like $1,000 US.
What, $35?
In your country. Oh, you came into America. I thought you said 35 pounds.
Yeah, I bought I bought a Captain Jack doll that I found for £1.
Aww.
And then there was another one that was for £10. It was mint condition in the box, and it was Captain Jack with the coat, the better Captain Jack doll. Oh. And I got the guy down from £10 on that to £3, right? So
why did he make you pay for it? Weren't you like,
Doesn't work that way.
Oh, man.
I wish.
That's bogus.
I wish, because I'm going, and he's going, fucking money.
And that lasted 3 hours of those two interactions.
Yeah, that was it. Yeah. Fucking money.
How was that?
I like you, too. I got a sandwich here.
Oh, my God. Yeah, please take them off my hands.
Sandwich, the unhealthy part is on the outside.
It's always the best one to eat.
It's a Monte Cristo. We are in Monte Cristo.
Here's the lean meat, and these are the buns.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but it's 100% Angus, I'll tell you that much. It might be lean, but it's never mind. let's hit the second one, kiddo.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, you're going to get it.
Not...
All right.
Not that I'm asking you to pick favorites, but what dynamic did you? Because you worked with a lot of different. I mean, you had Eccleston, you had Billy Piper, you had Tennant. Like what?
You want me to pick?
No, you. I'm just.
I'll pick.
Okay.
Oh, it was so quiet.
I have to say. I love the show Doctor Who like everybody else. You get on the journey and you go and you live in those different worlds and you live in the world of Doctor Who. But I have to say my favorite is David Tennant.
Yeah. Oh.
And that obviously is because where David was such an incredible doctor, and also I got to live in that world with him, and you know, it's weird to think that we've become a part of iconic kind of British television history, and it's amazing, and I'm proud to say that he was my doctor and I was his Jack.
Oh, that's wonderful.
That is adorable.
But also, one of my favorite was Elizabeth Sladen.
Yeah.
Who unfortunately passed away.
Of course.
And I did an interview with Doctor Who magazine after it happened, and I said, and it's really truly, every companion or assistant, whatever you want to call them, or friend of the doctor, no matter who you are, I'd say to them that you cannot be that person in the TARDIS and not have looked at Elizabeth Sladen, Sarah Jane Smith, and taken something from it, because she was the quintessential assistant, and she was the mother of our ship, so, you know. But anyway,
that's wonderful.
Sorry, that was a little depressing.
No, it wasn't depressing. It was lovely.
But I always like to honor her because she was such a lovely lady.
Yeah.
And she looks like someone you want to hug.
Yeah.
And everyone, people were really, really saddened.
Oh my gosh, it was a massive, massive thing for the UK because she was such an icon of television. Yeah. So yeah, but you know, she's in the spirit world with us.
She held up all right too. I would have.
She was beautiful. She really did. She was beautiful.
Matt, a lot of people would have.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. Right?
Are you guys? Have you been to Gallifrey One yet in Los Angeles?
Have I been what?
To Gallifrey One. Gallifrey One is a Doctor Who convention.
I have been invited, but it's not because I don't want to do them. It's because my schedule is busy.
He's British, Matt. You hear this, idiot, America? He's British.
I learned that word.
You know what? One drives me nuts in the States.
Hey, Jonah, you got beer.
You got another beer.
Oh, thank you so much.
What drives me nuts in the States?
What?
All right.
Careful.
I can't even remember
how
they say it in America.
Remember the people of the science.
We say bruschetta.
Right.
Bruschetta. How do you say it?
Bruschetta.
It's so wrong. Bruschetta. Shut up.
Wait, who the fuck says bruschetta?
I say bruschetta.
On the television, they're advertising it. Uh-oh. They say, and a massive steak with shrimp and bruschetta.
Oh, that's because...
Where the fuck have you come from?
They're coming from Red Lobster.
Exactly.
Red Lobster, Olive Garden, that's where you're seeing those commercials for,
bruschetta.
Right?
Yeah, but this, you say bruschetta.
This is the same company where we had a present that said nuclear, so I don't know if that's...
Nuclear.
Yeah, they say nuclear. Yeah.
Thank God he's gone.
Yeah. I mean, there's no... there's no...
But there's
He'll
another thing. I don't say croissant. I say croissant-witch.
Croissant-witch.
Yeah.
I had a teacher in high school. Her name was Mrs. Croissant, and we used to call her Miss Croissant-witch.
No.
She must have loved that.
She hated it. Didn't like it at all. Miss Croissant-witch, what's the question?
Terrible. You can't send me to detention. I'm a fixed point in time. Where are you going?
He's going to get the beer.
Another one?
Go get your beer, yeah.
Oh, is that the same one?
Yeah.
You got to go pee, don't you?
All right, go
why
get your
you
beer.
Hey, listen. By the way, my sister and I are doing a signing tomorrow after I do the G4 thing.
Are you really? Where? What time?
Well, we're doing it at the Simon & Schuster booth because we've written together a book called Hollow Earth, which is now being released in the States.
Oh, do tell.
And it's a book for, we wrote it for in the UK market and also for this market for like 8 to 13-year-olds. But we also wrote the book because it's a book that we would read ourselves, and a lot of adults have really got into it. It's about twins who have special powers. They're called animares, and they can animate and draw things and put themselves into it or bring the paintings to life or artwork and create situations to manipulate things that through... we wanted to bring art and paintings and stuff into it. And they travel from London all the way up to an island in Scotland called Auchinmurn, which Murn was my... It's all like kind of family stuff that's in it. It's really kind of cool. But it's very, very good novel, and Carol's working at the moment on the second...
They travel all the way from England to Scotland? What is that, like 300 miles?
You better keep your bitch in line, John.
You. Yeah. No lube.
Look at this. Not necessary. I had Thai food.
Slipping, slide.
You just
like one of those things you use as a kid and put the water slip on and it. Slide.
Or a crocodile mile.
Oh, crocodile
you
run, mile.
You jump, you hit the bump, you take a dive.
That's all you got to do.
Yeah, exactly.
So Hollow Earth is the name of the book.
Hollow Earth, yeah.
It sounds like a Miyazaki kind of story, like in a Japanese old like thing.
Stop being weird.
No.
Jonah.
Nope.
No.
I heard edamame.
Did you? And, yes, because you've had four beers.
Oh, I've had
this
more
is
not
you kidding?
Edamame. Yeah. Edamame is some...
Tasty treat.
We are all just counting down the days to when I have to give Jonah a piece of my liver.
I don't want it.
But Jonah's going to wake up and be like, I really wonder what Jordy LaForge would do. What's happening to me?
That's when the suicide becomes real.
This week on Myra's Liver.
Oh. Watch that program.
So we have another special guest. I would love you to stay out here if you can, John.
Oh,
Rehrman.
No, get rid of me if
no,
you
no,
want
please
to.
Stay. Please stay. Please stay. This
He's
is a very special guest.
You a really good hint.
I wanted to have someone come out that I thought Matt Myra would want to meet. And he's doing a show for us on the Nurse Channel. So please welcome Baba Booey, Gary Delabate.
Hey! It's like my birthday show.
How are you, mate?
This is Gary? Matt Myra.
A pleasure.
Do you want a chair?
Oh, Baba Booey.
It really goes downhill immediately as soon as Gary
Oh, my God,
comes
you guys.
Here.
Come on. What happened, nerds? Let's pull it together.
No, this is what? This is kindness.
It is. This is the greeting.
Love. They throw shit at me and call me.
When people started doing this, do you listen to the Howard Stern Show? Do you get the Howard Stern Show in the UK?
I know the Howard Stern Show.
Okay,
yeah.
So Gary's not. And so, Gary, when was there any point where you were like, please stop shouting that at me?
Yeah, one time I was at the local grocery store, and I was the only one in the store, and the guy that worked there who was bored got out of the thing, and he's like, Baba Booey, Baba Booey. But I got to tell you, I had the greatest, today, of all places, this could only happen at Comic-Con, I had the greatest Baba Booey shout-out ever. I'm walking down the street, and I get like 20 a day, so I was so tired. I was coming from over at the place, and somebody goes, Baba Booey, Baba Booey. And I just sort of waved. I didn't even turn around. So it got closer, and I heard the voice, and I immediately recognized the voice. How many people here are fans of The Wire?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It was Bubbles. Bubbles from The Wire. Baba Booey'd me at Comic-Con. I'm like, Bubbles. He's like, what's up?
So how are you? How's it going over there in the Stern Show now?
It's going great. It's going
yeah, now
great.
You guys have so many days off. Jeez.
I knew you were going to go there, Judd Apatow.
I know. Well, I heard Howard kind of tear into someone about that because they're like,
Judd.
He just got mad because Judd Apatow had written a tweet about how he wasn't happy that we weren't working as much, but they worked it out. It's all worked out.
Oh, it's all worked out.
We don't like enemies anymore.
Oh, good.
Theoretically.
I mean, it's, you know, morning radio was something I did for like about a year, and it ruined it. Just I don't know how you're able to still be up right now. I mean, what do you think about like 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning to get ready for the show?
You get used to it really quick, though. I mean, you get up early, and there is a good element to it. Eventually, when you get used to it, you do have the rest of the day to yourself.
Liar.
which is really great when it comes to Christmas, because I would go Christmas shopping at 2 in the afternoon on weekdays and never have to go in on the weekend because I was off work early.
Glad it paid off for that 1 week a year.
I got to look on the bright side, my friend. I got to find something good about it.
I mean, when the whole... Because Stern is endlessly fascinating to me because he really changed... Sort of did to radio what Norman Lear did to television in the sense of like really bringing kind
without, of... Without Howard Stern, there would be no podcasting.
No, well...
There would be no people talking
There wouldn't
into
be a lot of things
about
Howard, but he really brought like an honesty and a humanity. And what I saw, just having worked in television and having to do like those radio tours all the time where you call like 10 radio stations
and then
morning,
you see how bad it is.
You see how bad it is, and you see how many people think that all Howard's doing is just like... Like, you call in dudes, and they're like, hey, we got a couple of hookers in studio. You're like, fucking shut up. Come on.
Well, I think the best example of that, do you watch Parks and Recreation?
Yeah.
There's a radio show in there, and it's like Jim and the Douche. And a guy's like, hi, I'm the Douche. And that's what these guys do in, like, the Midwest markets. But I think Howard even changed a lot of stuff that when we went to L.A., and we got really big in L.A., I really did see some of the language on television start to change because, you know, he was in there, you know, sort of breaking down those walls every day.
Yeah. And I remember seeing, I was thinking, and this kind of freaked me out because I think this was about 20 years ago. Did you guys do the pay-per-view special in like 91 or 92 where he
Butt
was...
Butt Bongo Fiesta, very
yes.
proud of it.
Yeah. And he comes up like on a toilet as Fart Man.
Oh, no, no. You're confusing. That that's movie you're that's confusing. The negligee and underpants. No, wait a second. That's that. It's Rotten New Year's Eve. Was when he came up on the toilet in
and
Newark, New Jersey.
The Butt Bongo Fiesta was the
Movie Awards.
Yeah. No, no, no. The Movie Awards are a totally separate thing.
So listen, get it right.
Who cares? I care.
He cares.
How quickly? I mean, I saw the movie Private Parts, obviously, which was a, you know, I'm sure was a sort of a condensed, kind of comedically
but
enhanced.
Pretty well true to how it all went down for the most part.
What year did you start working for him?
84.
Jesus. Oh my gosh. Christ. What was the worst thing you guys got in trouble for?
From, like, our owners or from the FCC?
That can be two separate questions.
If I told you that...
two questions, two answers.
From our owners? Yes. I know this is the stupidest thing. I spilled a jar of maraschino cherries on the carpet in the studio.
What?
And they wanted me to fucking pay for it.
Shut up.
They had just built the studio, the carpet was new, and they were outraged.
Why did you have maraschino cherries?
Because we were doing a Super Bowl party, and we were getting massages from these girls, and they were doing it with cherries in their mouths.
Oh, my God.
That's the truth.
Of course you were.
I left that part out.
So what about for the FCC? What was the worst thing?
I don't know. There was all sorts of stuff. I was
also maraschino cherries.
Because they got heavy with you guys.
Yeah. You know, the thing with Howard was they would never say, here's what you can't say. They would just tell us, after the fact, you can't say that. And we were like, well, how do we know? You never told us what we can't say.
Right.
And it became this sort of roundabout thing.
Well, I think especially because the FCC works or the way even standards on television works, which, you know, cable television is not regulated by the FCC, but still, it's very loose the way that they just kind of go, well, I don't know, someone probably will be offended by that, so you can't say that. You're like, but can you just give me some kind of guidelines?
It's true. Are the rules different in English television? It seems like there's a lot of cursing, a lot of nudity.
Well, there are. If it's in a medical book and it's before 9 o'clock, you can say it. So you can say penis, you can say breast, you can say rectum, you can say
vagina.
Scrotum, nipple.
Is taint in the book? Is taint in the book?
Taint. Is taint in a medical journal?
I have no idea. Like
it's
I said, but after 9 o'clock, you can say fuck, shit, piss, arse, bastard. You have to get permission to say see you next Tuesday.
Oh,
you
yeah.
can say you. Wait a second.
Who do you
say,
ask? The Queen?
she would know.
No, I hear declare.
No, you have to submit a form. You have to submit a form to the Ministry of Cunts, and
yes,
then
you
they
do.
Will tell you. If
certainly,
you, can
you
say
do,
it.
And if because if you want to put it in a script, you have to get so much approval to say it, but. If they approve it, and if it's relevant, you can say it.
Do you know, can you tell me a situation where it was approved? Like, I'd love to know the scenario where it was, like, okay.
I don't know, because in most of the Doctor Who and Torchwood script, we wouldn't say it.
Oh, you should start
but
saying
no,
it.
No, I that's something I can get back to you on later to see which was, yeah, I don't know. I don't off the top of head.
Top of head works, I guess.
Yeah.
You'll be doing it. You can't have too much fun. You can't have too much violence on British
Well, that's
television.
The thing. You can't. I heard in British television, and this is just sort of the funny, just the, how different American and British television is that you that in British television will not show someone shooting a gun, I heard, or you can't
no,
show...
No, well, Captain Jack, if you notice, eventually, I could never... I did it a couple of times, and we got in trouble for it. You cannot hold a gun and point it down the lens of a camera to the audience. They would rather...
Do they know how television
listen,
works?
No, I know, but
it's
I...
It's not real.
No, but I think...
They still think the train's going to hit them.
Yeah. I think this is good, though. We would rather show sex and lovemaking than killing.
And here, we get all, like, you, they'll show, yeah. I think I may have told the story before, my buddy Mike Furman worked, did visual effects for CSI Miami, and there was a scene where there was a crime scene where this girl had been murdered, and they were like, oh, can you just blur out the corner of her areola? And, like, her entrails were out.
Yeah.
And they're like, are you fucking serious?
Yeah. No, that's all the time. It's stuff like that. Yeah. But
it's funny because, like, Luther, which is a show that I love, that Luther's a pretty violent show for British television.
Yeah, I mean, it is, but they don't... I'm not as familiar with Luther and what happens in it, but I do know that violence, you have to get approval for things like that. And, you know... We try to be. I'm not a spokesperson for British television.
You should be.
Or violence.
No, I don't want to get on. You know, because some newspaper will pick up what I've said tonight. They'll be like, John Merriman says he knows all about British television.
It'll be the Daily Mail too, right?
Oh, it'll be the Daily Mail.
Oh, yeah. Newspapers are still made in the 1920s. That's great.
The what?
In the 1920s.
Yeah, they talk like that.
Today on the nasally
Today
Times.
On the news of the world, John Merriman exposes his Batman fisted arse on television.
And did someone just say cunt? It's the Queen. Out for a stroll in the garden in the front of Buckingham Palace.
Train.
I've never said it on air, ever.
You haven't?
Cunt.
Yay!
If anywhere, I'm glad I was here.
I'm really, well, yeah, I'm glad I lost my...
Cunt virginity.
I lost my cunt-ginity on the Nerdist.
I sadly could make no such claim.
Believe now, me, you, I can make it.
I want to ask Gary a question. Gary, do you have a least favorite member of the Whack Pack as far as annoying you at work?
I got to think about that.
Is it Ass Napkin Ed? I feel like
it. No, it's probably... it might be Ass Napkin Ed. It's a guy who calls our show all the time, but then he calls me a lot off the air. When I get in the morning... and I check my voicemail, it's 75% him.
Oh, my God.
Because he drinks, and he gets drunk, and he leaves long messages, and that sort of thing.
I mean, this show must have done so much to form who you are just in life. Having to be kind of the center, the person wrangling all this stuff and this whirlwind around Howard, because he's like, and then you have to make all this shit happen and deal with these people.
Right. I enjoy it, though. I really do. I really have come to enjoy... dealing with midgets, strippers, porn stars, etc.
I mean, did you when
that
you...
sounded so rehearsed? I know, no, I love it.
And Alec Baldwin.
Did you when you guys made the move to Sirius? Was it liberating, or did you feel like, oh well, maybe the show's not going to be as edgy because now that we can say a lot, like, because part of the magic is having to work around FCC regulations.
It was totally liberating on two levels. The first level was that there were no commercials or very limited commercials, and when we were terrestrial radio, we were up to like 22 to 23 minutes of commercials per hour, which is really a lot for
that's
radio.
That's a lot. Yeah.
That's like TV numbers. But the second thing that was liberating, and I saw this in a lot of interviews. In the first one, I think probably within the first 6 months, we had Chris Rock on the show. And Howard and Chris Rock talked for about an hour and a half. It sounded like two guys sitting in their living room, and I think they used the word shit once. But they didn't have to, like, dance around. When they talked about stuff, they talked about it very forthright.
Yeah.
And they didn't have to dance around it. It just seemed more liberating. It seemed more. Everything was more at ease. And I think that goes with most of the interviews that go on there now.
Does Howard seem... Matt's right. I mean, I don't know if there would be this kind of podcasting without... Howard in the world. Does he still enjoy doing the show, or is it just sort of like he's like, yeah, we're just kind of ride it out?
No, he totally enjoys doing the show. I was just talking to him yesterday for about a half an hour, talking about stuff that we're doing on the air next week, and he's still got it. He's still up for doing it.
Does he like doing America's Got Talent?
He loves that. Loves doing that show.
He's
anybody watch America's Got Talent?
He's a good judge.
He's a very good
All right,
judge.
Three of you.
Yeah, when he hugged that kid.
I didn't see that, no.
Oh, it was great.
Because we don't watch America's Got Talent in Britain.
I just seen the online.
Britain's got its own talent.
Yeah!
That's where we got Susan Boyle was from Britain's Got Talent.
Oh,
right?
Thanks for getting
Oh,
nothing.
Thank you.
I dreamed a dream in time gone by.
It's because
I
you
guess
had
that was as good.
Vodka tonics.
Do you know that she sold 800,000 CDs? First of all, who's buying CDs? She sold 800,000 CDs in her first week in this country.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
She
is way set.
Single.
Yeah.
She has sold more records worldwide than I think it's like Celine and Madonna. She's
what? Oh my God.
Yeah. Don't quote me on that. That's
it's a whiskey talking.
Sounded good.
I'm
an expert.
She
on
has
the
sold
boil.
More than Elvis and the Beatles.
I do know. I do
and
know
then she beat up a polar bear.
Jesus.
She's had sex with the Rolling Stones.
You just gotta yell.
I know, exactly.
Sorry.
It's like a family Thanksgiving dinner. You gotta yell to be heard.
When you've been doing a show, so you've been on the show for 28 years now. So what is it, like, what's the essential element that keeps the show fresh to you and doesn't, you know, just sort of feel like, another day at the office? Like,
I don't know. It's basically him talking about his life and everybody. We always talk about that the show is so honest. But when we come in and we talk about shit that happens to us, like I'm going to be talking on Monday about how Delta bumped me off a fucking flight.
Ooh,
because it was 600
Delta.
Pounds overweight and they pulled four people off randomly.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Oh, my gosh.
The flight left without me and four empty seats.
Oh, because they had too much luggage.
Yeah. So they had to deliver somebody's...
Yeah, because nowadays,
Iron Man costume. Nowadays on airlines, cargo's more important than people.
It's absolutely true. But, I mean, talking about our daily lives, for whatever reason, still seems to be very interesting to people, especially Howard's life.
That first hour of the show every morning, that's my favorite.
Well, you are a fan. That's
the ramp up from 6 a.m. to 7, or like 7:30
Matt is a super fan.
I can tell.
I listen every day.
Of the Howard. So you could ask him anything, and he'll probably know the answer.
The first hour is where a lot of the activity happens, because we have guests later on in the show. So the first hour, if someone's going to end up on the hot seat, that's generally where it's going to happen.
Yeah. That's where Scott the engineer usually gets the most yelled at.
Well, it's interesting because to have a show that is as successful as that show and has sustained that for so long, I mean, I almost, I sort of see some of the parallels with comedy, and like when comedians get really successful, they get comfortable, they make a lot of money, and then all of a sudden they sort of lose their edge because they're just not as, hungry, or they get comfortable. I don't know what it is. So I guess how are you guys able to maintain the humanity of the show?
Well, I mean, nobody on that show is the same person they were 30 years ago, but it evolves day by day. It's not like we took 2 years off and came back. And so I think that just doing the show every day and everybody just evolves, the evolution of the show is what keeps it fresh.
Is terrestrial radio I don't know if it'll ever go away, not, anytime in the near future, but it definitely is.
It's in bad shape.
Yeah.
Financially, it's in bad shape. They really can't afford to hire big talent anymore, and so it's a lot of local stuff, and it's a losing industry, financially losing industry right now.
Well, as soon as you can, I mean, a lot of cars now are coming equipped with Pandora, but as soon as in the next year or so, when you start seeing cars become mobile hotspots,
exactly,
then it's all over. It's the same as how when switching a channel on your television is the same as just like getting over to YouTube or digital. I mean, it's all digital now, but I mean like web content. Then it really does change the game for everyone. Is that horrifying in any way, or do you not for you guys are pretty bulletproof?
But I think that the feeling is like we were satellite only when we started, and now it's available on iPhones that way. And I think that their feeling is that maybe the technology will change, but content is the most important thing. And so it's the NFL, and it's Howard Stern, and it's Major League Baseball. And if you have good shows and good content, people will get it however they're going to get it.
Do you find that you're getting a lot of new users constantly? new listeners constantly? Or do you, obviously you have a pretty solid base of people who've been with you probably since the beginning.
We're getting a lot of new listeners because when we first started, it was barely in anybody's car. And now for like the last year or two, every car that rolls off has it. And they give you the crack. It's the 3 months free of Sirius Satellite or XM or whatever it is.
And you're hooked.
And then when you are hooked, because when you realize that it sounds better, but the thing is the commercials. Like when I'll turn to terrestrial radio every once in a great while, and I'll be like, how can anybody listen to this many commercials? It's just commercial after commercial.
Yeah. I don't listen to, when I'm in the car, I have Sirius on all the time.
What's British morning radio like?
What?
What's British morning radio
There's
like?
There's a big guy over there. I met him.
Terry Wogan.
He wrote a bunch of books. He's like a big star over there.
Chris?
Yeah, what's his last name?
Well, there's Chris Morales and there's Chris Evans. They're both
Chris Evans is the one.
Chris Evans is on BBC Radio 2.
Captain America.
No. No.
Matt, you could barely
He's
get
not
that
as good
out.
Looking. He's not as good looking. But there's the BBC we don't have any commercials on the radio or on television, so programs and radio programs and music are played without commercials.
But you have a very limited amount of stations, correct?
We do. Well, we have
pirate radio?
No, it's changed a little bit, but again, there's the BBC radio stations are quite solid, but then you go to other radio stations that are the commercial stations, but you're listening to commercials.
Right.
We have DAB radio, which is digital radio, and that's more so kind of our satellite radio where there's not as much commercial interruption and stuff on certain aspects of it. But we don't have Sirius or any other
satellites. Yeah, Sirius, because a lot of people, Sirius... There was a little bit of a scare like a year ago. It's like, well, Sirius isn't going to be able to turn the lights on Monday. And some people go, well, wait. And someone said, oh, it's because they're paying Howard's show so much. And truthfully, I think from what I understand, it's actually the reason that they should be making a ton of money, but are sometimes losing money because they have to make deals with these auto companies to get Sirius packaged with cars, and it just costs them like tens of millions of dollars.
Yeah, there's a lot of that going on, and you have to pay the music artists and stuff. You have to pay the ASCAP fees and all that stuff.
Also, guys, and I don't know business, but I feel like launching a satellite into space costs money.
I don't know
not
if they launch.
Not if you do it in China.
Hey,
it's true.
That's right. They have all our debt. That's right.
Yeah. I like radio commercials though. It's so I know when there's a sale at Guitar Center.
Yep.
Oh, it also
always.
Lets me know.
It also lets
me know what furniture store is going out of business that week.
Or where you can get a mattress cheap.
Yes.
Free.
Your 1-800 mattress. The last S. They saved it for savings. You guys.
It lets me know when I need to get into the zone.
The AutoZone.
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 Do you guys have auto glass repair? Auto glass
no,
replace?
No, but I want it.
No.
It's awesome.
What's the carpet jingle?
588-9300 Empire.
We're expecting our check.
Empire.
No, don't spike the microphone.
The thing that everyone thinks is local because the commercials suck so bad is actually a national thing.
And the guy who used to lay the carpet in the 80s, it's an animatronic.
Now he's a CG guy.
Yeah, it's CG guy.
What's the car insurance? Like, it's called 1-800-GENERAL-NOW.
Also and very shitty, but national.
Really shitty, but national, yeah.
The other
Which
one.
Which is the name of this podcast.
The other one was
shitty, but national.
Chloe and I just watched, there was this old, in the late 80s, early 90s, there was like a series of bad survival insurance ads. It was a company called Survival Insurance, and there was all these guys sitting around a table that just looked like bad public access shot commercial. And they're playing poker, and the one guy's like, I'm all out of money. Here's the keys to my car. And the other guy goes, what is it? And he goes, it's a Porsche. The guy goes, is it insured? And he goes, yeah. And he goes, by survival? No. I'm sorry. I can't take that bet.
Do you remember that commercial?
I don't remember that, but that would make me buy that insurance.
It's on the YouTubes.
This would be the most ingenious way of doing ads in the middle of a podcast.
Make fun of them.
It's not, though. There's an ad that I hear locally. It's like it's basically a pawn shop, but they make it sound like it's a public service announcement. We've been helping people for years, and we can help you. And they make it sound like it's like, like they're not a business.
But then we're gonna take all your treasured memories and give you $10.
We'll take your engagement ring.
If
and get
only
back.
There was a place I could bring gold for cash.
Oh, I saw a guy with a sign.
Oh yeah,
it was going all over the place.
How fast is it turning?
Oh, great! Up in the air,
really,
back in his hand.
Really,
you guys don't have to worry about that stuff. I mean, you don't really have. You can sort of pick and choose whatever you want to be involved.
Well, we do have ads on the show.
Ashley Madison's a big one.
Oh, do you know what that is?
Adorable.
Do you know what Ashley Madison is?
No. Yeah.
Have a discreet affair today.
Yeah.
It's basically, married guys.
Fuck.
It's where women could go to hook with married guys.
Yep. They know their demographic.
It's OkCupid for married people. Is what it is.
Except it costs money.
Yeah. It's if you want to. I guess if you want to have an affair, that's what you. Yeah.
They have very funny jingles.
I don't like pussy. I like the other.
I think they hook everyone up.
You don't like the innies. You like the outies. That's what I call them.
There's an innie. I can name an innie.
Thank you.
I know. When I was coming out here, I was like, "Do you want to go out?" I was like, "I'm not gay, and I don't shit in front of my wife. I feel like I have nothing to contribute."
No, but everyone who's on your show does something similar to that.
Wait, you have not shit in front of your wife?
Right. Why don't you shit?
No, but I have
how
shit. I have shit in the vicinity, and I get a lot of shit for that.
Yeah.
Like, in other words, I'll go where she just arrived, and I get yelled at. I'm like, "Well, what do you want? It's a fucking bathroom."
Okay.
So wait, it's your wife. It's your wife that doesn't like it.
Shouldn't like it.
Do you care?
You would do it.
Do I care?
Say you're brushing her teeth. She's like, I gotta take a shit. She starts taking a shit. Do you care?
At this point, no. I'm 20 years in, man.
But I think something you should do. I think you should do something you should do on Howard's show is take a microphone into the bathroom and shit in front of her for the first time.
Well, Howard has a. He's very clear on this. He has a no shit, no pee in front of your girlfriend, wife rule. Ever. He feels like he feels like. He doesn't even know if his wife goes to the bathroom.
No.
And doesn't
Here's
want
the thing.
To know.
You could do that. Just don't lock eyes with your wife or
well,
her boyfriend. Just don't do it and go,
you.
Oh, no.
No. No, what you should do is when your wife starts taking a crap, is take off your pants, start masturbating, and suck your thumb at the same time.
This is a lot of things wrong with me.
I can do weird stuff, too. But you'll show us how you masturbate.
Oh.
Like an ape.
You really went for it there.
I really did. Yeah, it's called good space work, John. It's just comedy training.
Wouldn't that be weird, though, if it's like he was doing, it's like, yeah, then you're just jerking off and he starts like doing this.
No, well, there was a guy.
He's like,
I did. Let's get this party started. I know there was a guy because, yeah. Oh, the corkscrew. There was a reverse corkscrew. That's how, and then there's some of the twister, the tornado. Wow, all the way back there. There was a guy that I knew that when he would do it, and he didn't mean to do it this way, but he would be like, oh, yeah, I'm totally jerking off. He would smear his thumb over the top. And it was like such a window into so bad. Oh, yeah, whatever.
We knew a guy who did this, which I always thought was fucking weird.
You know what that is? That's the old Frenchman's tug. That's where you just go outward, overhand.
And it allows you to get right up to your mustache to twirl.
Whoop me.
Ooh, extra wax.
And there has to be an old-time piano playing.
Have you seen this one in Europe? Because of
Oh my god, that is awful. That's the worst thing I've ever seen in my life. That is the worst thing. No, I saw it. Oh my god.
Oh, that dick cheese. Like, that's that dick
like
cheese.
Like a tiny jar of peanut
that's
butter.
That's a Frenchman's tug.
That was some team effort.
Fromage, merci.
Oh, fromage!
More vodka tonic.
Oh,
good God.
Hey, 10 more for everybody.
Oh, fuck it. I'll just start drinking again tonight.
Hey, I proved I can do it.
Oh, good
no,
God.
No, Chris, our money.
Oh. it would go downhill so fast.
That's right.
Oh, it would say like a
month. I would have fun for like the first like three like years.
We talked about that when I had all the podcasters on the bowling show. It was Marin and Barrent and Pardo and me, and we're all sober. We've all been sober a really long time, and I was just like, we always kind of this hypothetical, like how much money would it take, you know, like how much to start, and then we started just talking about how you'd have one and you'd be okay. You'd be like, oh, that wasn't so bad, and within like you're like, well, how long do you think it would take? 3 weeks? Like 3 weeks a month, it would all be gone. You know, it would really be that fast.
It's like cigarettes for me. Like, I'm just like one, and then it's like...
And then you're like, oh, I did okay. I guess I'll be okay. Yeah, you really have to know... You almost have to respect the power of your addiction to make it not crazy.
Oh, that got real serious real fast.
It did, but...
I was going to lighten it up there, but I thought, no, let them have their moment.
Let
them have their moment. And then...
You know, my dad was crazy with...
And you know what? That's... That's when I really, as Oprah said, remembered my spirit and got my get out of hell free card. And that's when everything really. You know what we have time for a couple of, Jonah?
It's
a question.
Question.
It's a comment. It's a question. It's a comment. It's a comment. They don't know what this is. It's a question.
It's when we have a question.
It's a comment.
It's a comment.
It's a question. It's a comment. It's a comment. He knows it! Well done, dear boy! I'm going to go up here.
All right, good. He's gone.
Direct
Listen, guys,
now
you
got to
save us.
Because of the length of the show and because of the number of people here, we can only take 5 quements. So let's let me
it's
see.
It's like a panel.
Now
you.
It is like a panel.
Yeah. Do you want me to go out and get the question?
No.
Or the comment?
Yeah. Oh.
I can get the question.
Oh, the comment.
Get the comment.
Get the question. Get the comment. Get the comment.
Quement.
You can go down there. I think it's just a corded microphone, so you'll... Yeah, so you'll just have
there's
to...
A, there's a microphone. Okay. Fuck it.
Okay. I see this person up here waving their arms. This gentleman here in the front. I want to try to get some...
If the first question is...
What's your question? What's your comment? What's your question?
It's time for karaoke.
Yeah, lost.
Perfect.
That's good.
Perfect.
So I actually forgot what I was going to say.
Why? Why'd you forget?
No,
that's so weird.
Hold on, though. You inspired me to tell my poop story from last night.
Cup of balls, this guy says.
So yeah, I just wanted to just let everybody know that I took a shit in the middle of downtown San Diego last night in some bushes.
In some bushes?
Yeah.
Are you serious?
Dead serious.
Now,
yeah.
Did you ever think you'd tell that story in front of 1,000 people while rickshawing John Barrowman? That sounds like
actually,
a weird...
let me turn around. You can trombone me.
Oh, the right, of the rusty
I'll
kind.
That'd be rusty.
That would be a rusty trombone.
And then you wouldn't have shit in San Diego. You'd have eaten shit in San Diego.
This sounds like a weird dream. Like you're right. Like, I had the weirdest dream. I was telling this story about how I shit in the bushes and I was cupping John Barrowman's balls and he was on. That really happened.
Yes.
What do you now? Just not to get too graphic, but how do you kind of like clean that area at that?
I just sort of did it.
He didn't.
You know what that means, Chris? He didn't clean that area.
You had like one of those great shits where it's like
one
about
a block away
done.
That had a bathroom that I cleaned up in there.
Are you straight or gay?
I'm totally straight.
Exactly.
But I'm seriously considering,
Oh, wow.
Well, I'm telling you, you'll have to clean that up before you come around me. I might do thigh kissing and farting in bed, but I don't like pooping in my mouth.
And I will not shit in front of my wife.
Okay, good, good.
But I will shit in the middle of downtown San Diego.
Yeah,
in front of millions of people.
Because you don't know them.
There was in the middle of the night, and there was one person that said, "Hey, I think somebody's shitting in front of your house."
And you were like, "Comic-Con!
I did it! Yeah!"
All right, thank you very much. What is your name so everyone can know?
Matt from Portland.
Is that really your name?
That is truly my name.
What's your Twitter handle so people can tweet at you?
MR_Oberts.
J.W. Bushits.
Pooper from Portland.
All right, thank you for being here, Matt. And please don't shit out there in the lobby.
I'll try not to. Yeah. Thank you very much, John.
One more. This gentleman right here, right up front.
If your question is, do I want another beer? The answer is yes.
You're a huge fan.
Thank you,
too. I love you in that show, Doctor Who and Torchwood.
Thank you very much.
Especially Children of Earth, you were awesome in it.
Oh, thank you.
What's your question, sir?
Okay. I have a comment. This relates to both of you.
Okay.
I want to say F you and thank you at the same time for giving me Doctor Who.
Oh, yes.
When you said Neil Gaiman's in it, I'm like, I have to fucking watch it. And now I'm hooked up. I'm like, so F you and thank you.
I happily accept that. Thank you very much.
Chris, I concur. Fuck you.
No, Jonah, the other side of that is there was the thank you on the other end. So it was sort of like a kick fuck.
I didn't hear that far. Fuck
you. I like this. Is there any... We can't do any more.
Yeah, we can do it. We can do a few more. This guy right here.
Let's get a chick with big boobs down here.
What are you calling...
Oh, all right. Well, hang on, sir. Wait.
Oh, here's one. No, here's one. Big boobs.
That's
what you guys would do, right?
Yes.
You take it.
Come forward.
Big boobs.
All right.
Well, I wanted to let Jonah know the bar is closed.
Well done.
She works here.
Show's over. Thanks, everybody.
Thank
Good night.
You.
Good night.
That was
Good night.
Great.
Good night.
Yes, sir.
Hi.
You're the backdoor man for Matt, so...
I'm the backdoor man for Matt?
Yeah. Yeah, no, yeah. Remember
no,
when
he's
you...
my backdoor.
You got
oh,
yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. I went backwards. I have to ask Torchwood. More, please.
All I can say is that you guys have to write an email and tweet because we...
oh, shit.
I don't know if that... But Russell is obviously dealing with something personal with he and his partner because his partner isn't very well. And we've all taken kind of a hiatus and a break, but we don't have any information beyond that. But I really want to do more. My sister and I have written a novel. The first major Torchwood novel comes out in October.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, I can just say that
the first chapter of what happened, we have to reintroduce Jack to new readers,
sure.
And it's absolutely fucking awesome.
Okay,
I mean, I'm gripped.
In October, great.
Does it take from where it left off, the last series?
I'm not telling you.
You'll have to read the book.
Because he doesn't know.
All right, two more Quemons. I see, I want to get some people from the back. Okay, wait. God damn it. Oh, I love all of you and I want to be able to.
Do you want me to choose?
Yes, please.
Okay, the girl there in the white.
Okay, the
white shirt.
Good choice.
Sorry. But if someone jumps off the balcony.
Okay.
That was the best Wonder Woman run I've ever seen.
That was a good one.
Okay. I want to know, have you met Karen and Arthur all here? I want to know if you've met them or if you're friends with them or anything. And if you want to work with Matt soon, maybe?
You're looking at me like you want to do me.
She does have that look.
Doesn't she?
She does have that
it's look. It's that total, like, that. It's like that prom look of, I'm going to do you in the back of the car.
You know what she's thinking in the back of her head? She's like, maybe you just haven't met the right one of us yet. I can turn you.
I'm going to fix him.
I can bring you back to our side, John.
Unless your clitoris is 9.5 inches long, I ain't going there.
Well, I... No? What? No?
She says it is!
We have a winner!
Happy birthday, sweet 16! I have met them. In fact, Karen stayed in my... I have a condominium in Cardiff that I rent to other Doctor Who people who come in making the money.
Stop bragging.
You are very clever.
Anyway, no, Matt and I sat down and talked about stuff before he became Doctor Who. We sat around a table and had a nice meeting. I haven't seen him since, but I followed him on television, and Karen wrecked the countertops of my kitchen.
What?
In the apartment. Yeah, God knows what the... She must have been, like, fucking really heavily on top of him.
Whoa!
Or something.
Whoa! Oh, my God!
There was...
How do you think that would have gone down in detail?
I think it was right near the sink, and whatever was scraping all over the counter, there's, like, scarring. And she tried to cover it up...
Oh, no. She tried to
cover it up with a wooden breadboard. Like, I don't look under wood.
Well played, sir. Well played.
You're very welcome. Thank you for letting me touch your boobs.
All right. Two more, Quemons. So you in the green. You in the green. Come down. You in the green.
Hey, I'm really not gay.
Oh, my. Wait, everyone just heard you say
no,
that.
They don't hear anything. I've been telling everybody I've been gay for years. Women let me do anything to them.
Well,
there's
one right there. There's one right there.
What? Okay, yeah, cool. Don't say anything.
Cool. Yeah. So,
hey,
John, hey.
What's up, girl? What's going on? You got fabulous boobs.
Thank you. It's good to see you again.
Thank you.
Yes.
Oh, my God. Where have I met? I've met her before, actually. It's probably true.
What is...
I got your autograph last year at the Torchwood signing.
You did? Good.
I did. I was a very, very lucky person last
good.
Year.
Good. Awesome.
Yes. So, since we don't know the future of Torchwood just yet, when can we see you on TV again?
Nightline.
Antiques
can
Road
Can I just
trip.
Touch your boobs?
Yeah, what are you letting her off the hook for?
She doesn't have that aura of, like, touch me.
No, this was a defensive posture. Which
she's
is,
asking a
respect.
Decent question. She's a yeah. lovely girl.
So what You'll, are we going to see?
On television, I'm just working with BBC America at the moment because I've got a format of a TV show, and we're finalizing the deal. It should be next week, and I'll be on the screens on BBC America probably, if all goes well, in the fall and then in the spring. And then I've just done two small parts in two movies, so... That's good fun.
Wonderful, thank you.
You're very welcome. You can have a hug. One condition.
Oh, boy.
No, you can have a hug.
Thank you.
Yay! Thank you. All right. I just want to get someone from the back because I feel like they're
balcony.
All... Well, they're going to have to... All right. There's a girl waving her arms up there that we're going to have to wait for.
Well, while we're waiting for her, go for someone in the back there. That guy who just stood up. That guy.
Okay,
the guy.
That guy. That guy.
Come on down here.
That guy who's crushing all the people in his row right now because he's really excited. Oh, that foot's not going to
heal. Obviously a big gay.
Here he comes.
No,
here
I
he
have
comes.
No idea.
Here he comes.
Wait, I can smell it when he gets closer. Oh, yeah, definitely.
Really quick, give it up for John Barrowman.
Am I right or wrong? I'm wrong.
But my question is, can I have a hug?
Aww. Hey, hug it
John,
out.
John, do your thing.
Kiss?
Whoa! Oh my God. Might as well.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
Holy shit, this is one of my favorite live shows ever.
There's no way that guy didn't at least get a semi. Like, there's no way.
It's not called a semi. That's you
I
fucking drive
on.
A semi. A semi.
Yeah, a semi.
That's what's wrong.
Oh.
You got the wrong terminology.
It's not bruschetta.
Well, I better take these mud flaps off my dick then. They got Yosemite
He's
Sam on them.
Loaded up and trucking.
Hi.
Hello. Welcome. Come closer.
How are you?
Hello.
I don't kiss girls.
What?
That's
beautiful
okay,
eyes.
I don't mind.
Okay.
What's your comment?
Well, I'm a huge fan, by the way.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That's my comment. My question is actually for the big three.
Yep.
Chris, Matt, Jonah. Are you aware of how often you say the word phenomenal in the podcast?
It is.
Phenomenal.
That is not
phenomenal.
Phenomenal.
Ridiculous nuts.
The only time Jonah and I will say anything close to that is when we discuss our favorite John Travolta movie.
Phenomenon.
Yes.
Actually, no, it's not true. That's just a joke. It's when we discuss the movie Michael, which is phenomenal.
Oh, my God.
I think phenomenal.
And his hair.
I think phenomenal is an amazing word.
What kind of amazing?
I do get shit sometimes for saying phenomenal or amazing. There's only so many words that you can use.
I'm going to get you a thesaurus for
I
your
know
birthday.
That, but
I'm falling asleep.
This whole thing would have played out so much differently if Gary had grabbed everyone's tits and be like, oh my God, this is, why are they letting
no, better
him do
him,
that?
Better him.
Is there a word that you would prefer that I use instead for all the, you know, free podcasts that you don't have to pay for?
What would you rather them say?
You just said that to someone who paid $30 for a ticket.
Oh!
True. But all the podcasts are free. What would you prefer?
Cock.
You stop it. Making out.
Watch it or I'll make out with you.
What's your, what words would you prefer that I use?
Titillating.
All right.
Oh, and cock was a
love
bad
it.
Word.
Love it. Love
you
it.
You keep on using that word. I don't think it means what you think it means.
In that case, what is your name?
My name's Caitlin.
Caitlin, this.
We'll start using that.
In that case, this quement was not very titillating for me.
Chris, what a phenomenal answer.
Wait a minute. Come back. I'm sorry.
You just got flipped off by
I'm
an audience
kidding
measure.
You.
Flicked
I'm
him
kidding.
Off. What does she mean?
It's nice to meet you. I'm sorry I say phenomenal all the time, but this show really was phenomenal. I think we got to wrap it up. Please, a huge hand for John Barrowman, you guys. An amazing guest. Gary Delabate, Matt Myra, Jonah Ray, Katie Levine, who is up recording the show. Thank you so much for coming out. Okay. We do... oh, you guys are so sweet. So we're going to... We are going to attempt to do a signing out in the lobby. But just please understand that because there are a lot of people, we'll just kind of have to shuffle through as quickly as possible because we have a limited amount of time that we can be in the theater. So we'll come out, we'll do as many as we can, quick high five, sign a thing, and then that's it. But I cannot thank you enough. This has been a wonderful show. Enjoy Comic-Con 2012, and enjoy your burrito, everyone. Good night.
Now leaving Nerdist.com. Enjoy your burrito.
This episode of the Nerdist Podcast is brought to you by Stamps.com. Go to Stamps.com, click on the radio microphone at the top of the homepage, and enter the promo code Nerdist.
Behind every successful business is a story, and some of them might surprise you. Like how Chobani's first yogurt factory was discovered on a piece of junk mail. Or how the founder of the multi-million dollar cosmetics brand Drunk Elephant was told by everyone, including her own mother, that the name sounded like a dive bar. I'm Guy Raz, and on my show How I Built This, I talk to founders behind the world's biggest companies and brands to learn the real stories of how they built them. In each episode, you'll hear entrepreneurs share moments of doubt and failure and talk about how they were able to overcome them on their way to the top. How I Built This is like a masterclass in innovation and creativity, a how-to guide for navigating life's challenges from the people who've done it all. Follow How I Built This on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to How I Built This early and ad-free right now on Wondery Plus.